We'd like to also welcome everyone that is here this morning, but we also like to welcome those online. We have the Aquilina family with us. We have Brother Al. We have Brother Tewksbury. And we have also Sister Gladys was within. Sometimes when you have a problem connecting, the phone call drops. And but we are very blessed that Sister Biton, also Epifania, is with us also. And all those that join us, we'd like to welcome them. We have a family from Tanzania. Yes, it's you. I'm talking about the two here. Hi. Welcome to our church. We are very blessed that you're here. We have my sister there that's almost every Sabbath here with us, too. Back in the visit, we have somebody else here, too. We have Brother Danny and his wife back. We have more visitors here, too. And we like to say that we are missing few members today because I think there is a choir responsibility in one of the churches. So I told my wife, we may not have a lot of people in the church today because, you know, the families, they follow their little ones. And so I would like to say that thank God there are enough holy ones here for us to conduct a very blessed service. And thank you, Sister Cheryl, for the message. It's not every day we have Gabriel to pray, right? That's an awesome privilege. Gabriel was the one who conducted. And I'm not talking about Gabriel the name, you know. Now, this is the season when we all see around. I don't know how many of you notice, but it's very easy for us to notice how it comes Thanksgiving. Some people, even before Thanksgiving, you start to turn on the lights, the outside lights. Have you noticed this in your neighborhood? I don't know if you are one of those that have lights on your house, but in my neighborhood, I immediately was not even Thanksgiving yet. Somebody was so anxious to turn on the lights. And there are a lot of people turn on their lights. But there is one thing is to turn on the lights outside of your home. And not inside of your heart. There's no Christmas without the proper light. And so the title that we chose for the message this morning is The Tree of Light. I know that some of you say, oh, I'm familiar with the terminology, the tree of life. But I haven't heard anyone talk about the tree of light. So we will address this. If you look at your bulletin, some of you, we made effort to have at least one per family. If you look at the bulletin, you see a Bible. And from inside of the Bible, there is growing this tree. And this tree has many lights. So keep that picture in mind because we will put this picture also on the screen. It is this one. That's the picture. So today's message is entitled, The Tree of Light. Now, in Portuguese, and probably some other languages, I know only in the Portuguese language, when a woman gives birth, and in Portuguese we say, ela deu a luz, she gave light. And interesting that the word light and life is the equivalent to each other, is basically the same thing. So in this context, we're also going to be looking at the Bible verses. And I want you to be thinking every time the Bible says light, I want you to be thinking also about life because they are related. And in some cases, they are basically the same thing. Now, there is a text that I would like to show to people, and I do this once in a while or sometimes when I have opportunity because there is always a question. And I notice and I respect them. I know that I have been there. Some people question, should we have a Christmas tree inside of the sanctuary, inside of the church? And for those that still have a little, we always like to bring to their attention why we have no problem with having a Christmas tree inside of the church. Ellen G. White said this, let the several churches present to God Christmas trees in every church. How many church?
Every
church. And then do what with them? Let them hang, you know, therefore the fruit of gratitude. So the purpose of this tree here is just for us to show gratitude and just bring an offering because this church needs your gratitude. This is a review in Herald, December 9, 138 years ago. Yes, she wrote this. I entreat you, my brethren and sisters, to make this coming Christmas a blessing to yourselves and others. Christmas should be a selfish celebration. As you know, for those that are, oh, Pastor, Jesus did not, he was not born on the 25th. You know, there is one thing that you need to understand. Christmas is not a holy day. It's just a festive day. If we would be imposing or teaching to treat Christmas just like a holy day, there would be no biblical basis for that. But there is biblical basis for us to celebrate Christmas. Abraham did. Angels came from heaven. You see on the hymn that we, and we have the text. Angels came from heaven just with the purpose to celebrate. And they told the shepherds, go and celebrate. They celebrate. And then there was this wise man that came from miles and miles, for months and months, traveling just also to celebrate. And then 40 days later, as they brought Jesus to be presented in the temple, they were there, Simon and Anna, also to celebrate. There's nothing wrong about celebrating. Just the opposite. We should celebrate because if heaven took time to celebrate, we should celebrate as well. Now, as far as the date, it doesn't make any difference as long as we celebrate. And Christmas for us should not be one day a year. If you are a light, it should shine every day. And we're going to be talking about this. And trees are mentioned in the Bible more than any other living creature besides God and people. They're everywhere. In the first page of the Bible, the last page of the Bible, the first page of the New Testament, it's all over the Bible. There are trees everywhere. The problem is not the tree. The problem is how we approach the tree. If the tree is a tree of life, and if the tree is a symbol of Christ, then there is nothing. We must approach the light. The tree in a sanctuary. Did you know that in a sanctuary they have quite a few elements? They had a table with two piles of bread, six in one column, six in another one. Do you know what that represented? Jesus talked to Pharisees, and in reference to that table, he said, I am the bread of life. He was saying a clear connection that he is the bread of life. Then to the other side, there was this lamp standing there. He said, I am the life, the light. And then also, where once a year, the glory of God manifested. And he said, I am the glory of God. And then there was also supposed to be a place where the ark, in Jesus' time, there was no ark anymore. Remember when the temple was destroyed? They put a cornerstone from the Solomon's temple. And what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? I am the cornerstone. Basically, you can find in the gospel that Jesus said that he was every single piece of everything that was inside of the church. And he is also the high priest. And he, as you go through the Revelation at the end, it says, I am the sanctuary for my people. Revelation says clearly, in the last days there will be, in a new earth, there will be no temple because God himself is going to be our temple. So Jesus is everything inside of the temple. So please, understand that the light that was in that light, it was a light that was on not only during the last weeks of December, but the lights were on every single day, 365 days a year. So, brothers and sisters, it's not time for us as Christians to turn on our lights because it's Christmas. Sometimes people become very, and I'm not complaining, but have you noticed that people during this season, they are nicer? At least they're supposed to. Isn't that true? People have a better, it's contagious. People are more, why can we be Christians every day? How can we have the Christmas spirit every day, the whole year? So something is wrong because the light was supposed to be on every single day throughout the whole year, not just on the Sabbath, not just on Christmas. You are to make, this was a commandment that God gave, the menorah of pure gold. And if you look at the descriptions, it's the description of a tree. All the pieces, Exodus 25:31. And I chose the version on purpose. I chose the version for this verse from the Tree of Life version. That's just because I want to say a double message there too. Now, in Proverbs 6:23, in the King James, it says, for the commandment is a lamp. And then it says, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Doesn't bother you, or at least make you think, why would a Christian or somebody who says he is or she is a Christian say there is no more law? Have you heard that before? I heard this so many times. Every single time I went to give Bible studies to people that already call themselves Christians, and when we talk about Jesus, oh, wonderful Jesus, died on the cross. Yes, died on the cross. Praise the Lord. Oh, grace is all. Hallelujah. And they do all those things. But when we say law, oh, no. They run like they just have seen a ghost or something. And they become mean immediately. And they stretch and try to find all sorts of excuses to get away from the law. And if we get away from the law, you get away from light. You get away from the law, you get away from life. You get away from the law, you get away from Christ. You get away from Christ, you have no salvation. Wow. Psalm 119:105, everyone knows this, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus is the Word? Doesn't the Bible say Jesus is the truth? Doesn't Jesus himself say, I am the light? I am the light. And what is he supposed to do? Delight on the light. That's what we should do. And then he continued. Isaiah 9:6. We use this in a Bible study for a baptismal class. Unto us a child is born, a human. Unto us a son is given. That is the message of Christmas, right? And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful. By the way, since the original has no commas, I made my own version. I put a comma here, okay? So please be aware that I put a comma there. So wonderful. Counselor, I'm not changing the words. I just put a comma. Wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting. Are you counting? Father, Prince of Peace. So how many?
Seven.
If you have any doubt, here they are. God, the center of everything. Wonderful. Counselor, Prince of Peace, everlasting. Father, mighty. Yes, brothers and sisters, a perfect Savior. And believe me, this is not my idea. I was reading some Jewish scholar, and he was saying, do you know the menorah is a symbol of the tree of life? This is the Jewish. They don't put Jesus not part of their picture. And this is a symbol of Christ, is a tree of light. Now you know where we got the title of the sermon from, the tree of light. Brothers and sisters, doesn't Christ expect you as a Christian to be wonderful? Doesn't Jesus Christ expect you to be a counselor, to bring peace? Doesn't Jesus want you to be everlasting? Doesn't Jesus want to be one with the Father? And Jesus wants you to be mighty. Because if you are in Him, you are mighty as He is. Yes, this is the tree, a symbol of Christ and a symbol of everyone who shines in Christ as well. Now, in Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing, saying, they were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards mankind. What was this choir singing? What is the heart of their message? You know what the word glory means? Light. It says, glory, the glory of God, the light of God has manifested. Let's all enjoy. It's just like the creation in this one when God came and there was light. Why there was light? Because He was present. And when Christ is present in your life, you'll be shining, brothers and sisters. He will be shining. There was a man named John. By the way, I put in parentheses there, the baptizer, because he's not a Baptist. He's not Presbyterian either. Okay? He is a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? He was and he is, because when he gets up from the grave, he's going to come up as a Seventh-day Adventist. And so, there was a man named John, a Seventh-day Adventist, who was sent to... Why do I say that he's Seventh-day Adventist? If some of you feel uncomfortable about it, I can prove biblically that he was. Anybody has any doubt? Okay, so he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he is a Seventh-day Adventist, who was sent by God. He came to tell the people the truth about the light. So that through him, all people could hear about the light and believe and be enlightened. And that's what it was. John chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. John was not the light, but he came to tell people the truth about the light. And that was, and that is our responsibility as well. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. This was said before the first coming of Christ. Now this is true also about the second coming of Christ. So let's read this in the context of our hope. It says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to all of us, he is coming. Can you with me? He is coming. Say with gusto, he is coming. And keep telling this to yourself. Every time you make decisions, every time you do anything in life, remember, he is coming. He is coming. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light was shining darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish. You know, Lucifer, the moment that he decided to be the prince of darkness, he has done nothing but trying to destroy this light. But he won't succeed. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said this, I am the light of the world. Are you the light of the world as well, brothers and sisters? Don't worry. Some of you may be so humble that you say, no, Pastor, I feel uncomfortable to say that I am the light of the world. That can be arrogance. Not if you are a reflection of the true light. There was I don't remember the country, the name of the country, but there was this, by the seashore, they have this light to warn the house lights to warn the ships, you know, before they come too close so they don't end up hitting a rock or something else. Lighthouse. And so the people said, oh, what a beautiful. And there was one and the another one in another angle. And everybody believed when they looked those how they believed that both of them have a generator that produced the light. They were surprised to find out that only one had really the light, the power. The other one was just reflecting the light. And when they looked, they couldn't tell the difference between one or the other. It's just like you take a light and flash on the mirror, and then it reflects back. It's hard to see, you know, the intensity is equal. And God expects us to be the same. He is the light. He is the one who has the power. He is the one who has light, but we supposed to reflect that light. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You know, when we follow the light, I don't know how many of you have pay attention. Have you noticed when sometimes you get a picture of somebody in the dark, and they are close to a fire or close to a light, you can see clearly the light project on them, and you see the part that has less light, the darker part, right? That's the same thing we do with flash. We want the more light so we can see. Imagine when Christ says that he is the light, and if we follow him, we will reflect that light, and we also will be instrument to bring other people out of darkness. John 8:12. And the judgment is based on this fact. This is the fact that will decide who is going to have eternal life, who does not. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil, actions of darkness. And so all who do evil hate light. By the way, do you notice that what is the best time of the day for people to commit crime? Night. Why? They are sons of the night. That is the time when you do evil, is when there is no light. Every single time in the United States when there's a blackout or for some storm or something else, all las cucarachas, they all come out from their hiding place, and they go and break into stores and rob and do evil. There are people that sleep all day long. It came on the night, they wake up, and they take some cans of paint, and they went to prove that they are artists. They go and damage everybody else's property. They all, because they are creatures of the night. They have no intention to do anything good. They spend the day doing nothing, and during the night, they go out. Just like the coyotes. You don't see a coyote. Sometimes you can see, but you don't see the coyotes during the daytime in your backyard. But watch out for your cat or your puppies. They come at night, the coyotes will be there. I had a dog named Rocky. Oh, he escaped how many times? 2 or 3 times. The coyotes attacked him in the front of our door and grabbed the poor fellow by the throat and almost had him for dinner. But he fought. And he survived. And he lived until he was completely so old that he couldn't hear anything. He couldn't see anything. So he had his life. But he escaped the coyotes. But those who do what is right come to the light. So others can see that they are doing what God wants. Do good. Be good. And good always will be around you. May I say it again? Do good. Seek what is good. And good will be around you. And you'll be good. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, this is repeated. Okay, it's good to have it twice than not to have it at all. You are the light of the world. This is what Jesus Christ said to you and to myself. Notice that he said, I am the light, I am the light. Now he's turned to those that are supposed to reflect his light and says, you are the light of the world. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. I want you to think about this text very, very seriously, because it says a lot of things. There is a whole sermon, just those two texts here. You are the light of the world. We need to understand that the world needs us. The world is in darkness and needs us. We need to be there for the world. That is a responsibility. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Do you feel like you shine enough as a Christian? Do people really know what you believe? Do you come to church all dressed up? People think that you are going shopping or going to a wedding or something. If you put a Bible in your hand as you leave your home, you can tell people that you are not going to the wedding or going shopping or going to court. Because usually when the people dress places like this, because they have to go to court. Tell people. Don't be in their face, because sometimes people have a misunderstanding about what it means to be a Christian. They become these nuts, religious nuts that makes everybody else, they feel miserable, and they feel everybody feel miserable. That's not the way you reflect Christ. You need to reflect the light of Christ. When people are seeking the light, believe me, when you shine, they will jump, they will come to you immediately, and they will ask, how come you're so happy all the time? How come you feel so blessed? And you then tell them the secret. Tell them about a friend that helps you to shine. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. 16 says, let your light so shine before humans that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. let your light shine, brother and sister. And this will be truly a very blessed Christmas. Verse 1, 5 to 7 says, this is the message we heard from Jesus Christ himself, the light. And now we declare to you, God is light. Jesus is light. Jesus is God. God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. You know what is this text saying? Sometimes people, and you, some of you have heard us saying this a few times. People say so many terrible things about God. Oh, God killed this. God destroys this. Oh, the hurricane. Oh, God did that. That's God's. God is being portrayed so badly. There are even people that in the name of God is killing other people. The Roman church did more than 150 million and counting. They are not done yet. According to the Bible, there's still more things coming. And I'm over here being picky on the Roman church. It's just that it's just a historical fact. It says here there is no darkness in whom? In who is him? God. So when you approach God, don't approach him with fear, because there is no darkness in him at all. Living in the light. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in a spiritual darkness. Oh, Pastor, I like to do this so much. It's hard. It's hard to give up these things because I heard people saying sometimes they have all sorts of excuses. I even have a member one time in church saying to me, oh, I like wine so much. Doesn't the Bible say that wine is okay a little bit? Trying to say, and then, you know what? You open the door for a little bit of this, a little bit of that. How much it takes a person to be completely destroyed? One sin or a bunch of them? One sin is one sin. That's it. What took Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? One fruit, and it still was a good fruit. Eating the wrong time, but it was a good fruit. John. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us from all evil. Is it possible to have mean people in church? Have you ever seen mean people in church before? Even among the disciples of Jesus, there were mean people there too. Sons of thunder. There are people mean everywhere. Why? Because just because somebody is in the right place, it doesn't mean that the person is there with the right purpose. Brothers and sisters, don't fool ourselves. We are here because we want to be like him. There is no other purpose. Our mission is to be like God. Because if we try not to be like him, then there is no eternal life. He says his Son cleans us from all sins. All that we have to do is to approach the light, and the light will see what is wrong with us, and he will cleanse us from all our imperfections. But once you were full of darkness, but now, my brothers and sisters, you have the light. So let's shine. Let's be a gorgeous, shining light so that we can testify that we are the people of the light. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Good tree, good fruits. What is your tree? Do you have a tree of light or a tree of darkness? It says this, a good tree cannot bear bad fruits. So Jesus Christ is the good tree, isn't it? Is the tree of life. If we are ourselves a Christian, it doesn't make any sense we produce bad fruits, because it says this, and the bad tree cannot bear, it says, and bad tree cannot bear good fruit. The good tree produces good fruit, the bad tree, bad fruit. So when you have see something bad, don't label that as coming from God. Because there's not, it's not possible for anything bad to come from God, because God is a good tree. Matthew 7, verse 18. The righteous as an evergreen. This is an evergreen, symbol of evergreen. Ellen G. White says that also the Christmas tree is a symbol of Christ evergreen. Do you know what evergreen means? With all the deaths around, the winter, severe, that tree remains alive. It's a symbol of eternal life. The Bible says that we also are evergreens. It says, they are strong like a tree planted by the river. Talk about the righteous. The tree produces fruit in season, and what it says there? Its leaves don't die. What that means? Evergreen. That's what it says. You know, on the north, we see this kind of tree. But if we go south, palm trees. If we go to the desert in Israel, palm trees. The Solomon's Temple, there were many palm trees. You know that he carved palm trees all over the temple, inside of the temple. You can check in the Bible. I can give you the reference later on if you need. He had palm trees in the whole church. What is the palm trees that he had? Christmas trees. Evergreen. So why did he put a palm trees? Because exactly what it says is a symbol of life. That life will not end. It's just a symbol. It's not an act or object of worship. Everything they do will succeed. Now, the tree of light. Abide in me. The tree is speaking to you now. This is the secret for you to shine. This is Jesus talking to you. He says, abide in me. You know what abiding means, right? Be connected with. And then it says, and I am in you. Because if you connect to me, I will connect to you. I will reject you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, the tree of light. Do you want to shine? You must abide in the tree of light. Brothers and sisters, without Christ, it is not possible to have light. Without Christ, it's not possible to have light. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. You may have shopping, you may do a lot of stuff, but that's not Christmas. Don't fool yourselves. There is no Christmas without Christ, and there is no Christmas without light. And there is no Christmas if you are not the one who really shine. Be a true Christian. Shine. Show Christ. Christmas without Christ is just a must. You take Christ out of Christmas, all he's left is must. No must. All right, let's stand up and sing, may the Lord bless us, and let us shine during this Christmas. Let's make this Christmas the best yet. It would be wonderful if you say, I want to give Christ a gift this Christmas. I'm going to bring somebody to the church. Why don't you make that a project? Give Christ a gift this Christmas. bring someone to church. And Christ will say, yes, Merry Christmas to you too. All right, let's sing.